For I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. And so all means, I guess, all. It means everything. And so that's what we have to preach. Amen. Many times preachers will omit certain doctrines that they know will not be received well. This is one of those doctrines. I'm not saying you won't receive it, but most congregations, a lot of congregations don't, because it deals with the way we dress. Amen. You can't tell me how to dress. And you know what? And folks, this isn't about me getting involved in anybody's personal life, trying to nitpick. I'm really just as a preacher trying to preach what the Bible says. And I believe this is important, that the Lord did put this on my heart and he wouldn't take it away, so I had to. Amen. God cares about our modesty and has given us clear instruction. This particular lesson will look at nakedness in the Bible, and so this will be just one aspect of modesty and dealing mostly with the Old Testament and some of the foundational things that I think we need to understand in order to build to what we need to understand how the Lord wants us to behave as a New Testament church. And so Isaiah 47, if you do have a Bible, you can turn there. And I just want you to see one thing within this passage, nothing about the context of the verse, but I just wanted you to see the illustration that he uses here and how he characterizes it in Isaiah 47, verse 1 to 3. He says, "Come down and sit in the dust, O virgin daughter of Babylon. Sit on the ground. There is no throne, O daughter of the Chaldeans, for thou shalt no more be called tender and delicate. Take the millstones and grind meal, uncover thy locks, make bare the leg, uncover the thigh, pass over the rivers, thy nakedness shall be uncovered, yea, thy shame shall be seen. I will take vengeance, and I will not meet thee as a man." And so in dealing with these heathen nations, he's using the, the metaphor or the comparison of physical nakedness when he's referring to the whole nation. And he's saying, it's like you are being uncovered, and because of that, your shame is seen. Amen? And so this is what we have to do, is we have to reprogram ourselves to be biblical. Amen? Because what's happened is, in the generations that we're living right now, I think television, different things like that, have programmed us as to what is modest and what is not. And I think that we have to reprogram ourselves to God's standard. And that's why we'll look at this and we'll say, "Oh, that's just too far, God." Well, this is God you're talking to here. I mean, it's not me. It's not a Baptist. Like, I'm giving you Bible here. Amen. And I'm trying not to input my own preferences in this. I want to give you Bible. And I want you to, and I think that if we start in a way where we build upon this, I think we'd have a hard time arguing with God about it. I really do. And so I'm not jumping on a hobby horse. I think most of you know I probably haven't really preached any depth on this topic since I've started the church. But I figured now's the time we need to start laying some foundation down, and that's why I'm doing it. Letter A, the New Testament, and this is really the only time I refer into the New Testament in the lesson, says that we ought to have shamefacedness toward a modesty. So I'm looking at the shame of nakedness. And in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse number 9, I'll read that. It says, "In like manner also, that women adorn themselves in modest apparel with shamefacedness and sobriety, not with braided hair or gold or pearls or costly array." But what I want you to see in that passage is simply the word shamefacedness. That means modesty or an innate moral repugnance to a dishonorable act or fashion. So it's programmed in our heart that we're already looking at things and we have a repugnance towards that which is dishonorable. We're not trying to defend bad standards. We find it repugnant in our souls. Now, at the same time, I'm not saying that we use these terms to make ourselves look like we're spiritual, because we're all susceptible to lower standards. We all battle that. We always have to fight to keep on top, because we normally slide. That's why churches don't go on forever. There's a time that they start, there's a time that they grow, and then ultimately they die. And the reason why that is, that's exactly the formula throughout church history has happened. None of Paul's churches are out there today. Not a one of them. Any great church of the past has already died off. But what the Lord does is he plants a new one and he starts again. Because automatically, because of our sin nature, we automatically start to slide over time. Amen. And so we have to be cognizant of this. It seems that due to the church accepting immodesty as normal and Hollywood influences, that even Christians have lost their blush about their own bodies. Amen. And that's where we have to get back, I believe, to this shamefacedness that it's talking about here, to look at what we're doing and have grief due to a personal sense of evil, and that we would even get close to what God is calling wrong in the scripture. We ought to have a grief in our heart that we're even playing with it, or that we've been a part of it. Amen. That's what shamefacedness means. And so letter B, I did give you letter A, no. Yeah, I did. Letter B, before the fall of man, there was no shame of nakedness. And in Genesis 2, verse 25, it says, "And they were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed." And so we know in this innocent state, there's no knowledge of sin. They don't know that. They don't have no understanding of it. They had no problem being naked in the garden, you know, and that was fine. They weren't violating anything because God didn't give them any instruction on it. You know, there was no sin. And so many people, I've heard this before, will major on this point, and maybe not Christians so much, saying that since there was no shame before the fall, that we can be immodest after the fall. If being naked before is good, then obviously being unashamed of your nakedness is good. Amen. But the problem is this: we can't go back to pre-fall. You can't. We're post-fall. And there's things been added to our thinking, to our hearts, that have changed everything. So you cannot return to pre-fall while you're still on this cursed earth. And so it's impossible. The only way to go through life not being ashamed of your nakedness is to allow your conscience to become seared. And now you're lascivious, is what the Bible says. It says lasciviousness. That means I have no shame in my sin anymore because I've hardened myself. That's not pre-fall. Amen. That's very much post-fall. And yet it's a deception. It's a deception that somehow I've reached this enlightened stage where nothing bothers me anymore. Folks, that's wrong. And I want to expose some of those faulty mindsets as we go through this. I'll move on. Letter C, the knowledge of evil produced shame and fear over nakedness. And you see that in Genesis 3, verse 7. "And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked." Just like that, right after sin. "And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons." And in verse 10 it says, "And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden." This is Adam talking to God. "And I was afraid because I was naked. And I hid myself." So these are things that never were in their heart before. They never felt shame over their bodies, and they never had fear because of their nakedness. But now immediately after sin came in, their eyes opened to what sin really is and what evil is, they immediately felt shame. They immediately felt fear over the state of their bodies because of what was going through their minds. Could you imagine having a pure thought life and then in a second it becomes impure? Just like that. wow, that must have been just a terrible thing for them, a terrible awakening. And so it was not a matter of upbringing or environment. They both felt shame because they both knew sin. Okay? Naturally, in a child, you know, when a child, they'll run around naked, it doesn't bother them. See, their eyes have not been opened to the aspect of sin. But there comes a time in their life where all of a sudden they begin to see things differently than they did before, and now they're looking at themselves and they start feeling shame over their nakedness. See, that's the same type of thing that happened with Adam and Eve in the garden, except our kids weren't perfect when it happened, but they were just innocent. They were innocent because they didn't know. But as soon as they began to know, they immediately begin to feel shame over their bodies. Now, this is where many parents today that are enlightened will try to teach their kids, well, you don't need to feel shame over your body, you know. But no, what they're feeling is exactly what God wants them to feel because of the entrance of sin into their heart. So you don't work against the shame. The shame is a good thing because the shame will drive you. That's why it says in 1 Timothy, shamefacedness. It drives you away from evil and causes you to put things in place to keep you from feeling shame over these type of things. God wanted them to feel shame. So what we have in parenting today is really, we're just simply hardening the conscience of our children and developing a knowledge that shapes their conscience that is not the Word of God. And you can do that. Your conscience is shapeable according to the standard that you feed it. Amen? That's why I say, like, a Buddhist will feel bad that he didn't leave food at the idol that day, and it'll bother him to death. And yet the conscience was given by the God of heaven. So why would this conscience that God gave them make them feel bad about not giving reverence to a false god? Because your conscience is always molded by the standard that you teach it. Amen? And it's very important to understand that. Okay? And so, the world today knows sin, and they have expanded in their justifications of nakedness because they have justified sin. See, what they want to do is justify. This is really the key word, is justify. We justify. We try to justify things. I declare this righteous, we say. Oh, I don't think there's a problem with this. What you've just done is you've declared it righteous. Now, the Bible says, for it is God that justifieth. So you can't declare anything righteous. You don't have the right or the power to declare anything righteous ever. That whole process of justification, you have to hand over to God. In regards to your salvation, you have to hand that over to God. In regards to everything, other part of your Christian life, you have to hand that over to God. And like the Bible says, let God be true and every man a liar, that thou mayest be justified in all thy sayings. But you know what we do? When we want something real bad, we begin to develop a philosophy that will give us the right to do what I really just want to do. Yet, God didn't do it. God didn't justify it. That's self-justification. And that's what the Bible says. When you meet him, you won't overcome. You will meet that argument with God, and he will set you straight, and now you're condemned for it. Amen? You're condemned in your argument, you know? And so we have to be careful that we allow the Lord to be our justifier. The world doesn't do that. The world is constantly trying to justify sin. And so they justify nakedness. They justify immodesty. They justify going to the beach and wearing what they wear. And even Christians do that. And folks, if that's what Christians are doing, how can you say they truly walk with the Lord? How can you truly say that? Unless they're in a process of growth where this is where they came from and now they're growing. Amen. But even then, the Holy Spirit of God's inside of them and they will know this doesn't feel right because shame is now revealing itself to them over their nakedness. Amen. And so it's very important we understand this. And that's why I wanted to deal with this before I get into anything else. You know, we have to understand this process. If you're willing to accept sin as normal, you will also accept nakedness as normal. This means you will always be seeking, If you want God's normal, you will always be seeking to know more about God's word on the matter. If you've lost your heart to discover from the Bible what he's got to say about it, then you're in a seriously bad spot as a believer. Amen. These type of things and these type of doctrines, if in your heart you're already arguing with me, sitting in the chair, I'll tell you something, you're probably not going to seek the Bible about it. And if you don't seek the Bible about it, well then how are you ever going to accept God's standard on it? Because I'm not doing this because this is, oh, I've conquered all of this. You know, we need to grow, man. We need to find out what God's got to say, and then we all have to grow to God's standard. And none of us have achieved it. And what that does is our realization with that is we're constantly knowing I can be better than I am right now. Amen? If you have reached a line in the sand moment in your life, you are not right with God. You are not right with God. There is never a drawing a line in the sand moment for us. Because your understanding can always grow. There are things that you do not understand that God could reveal to you. And if you draw the line, what you're saying is, God, I don't want you to give me any more understanding about this because I've already made up my mind. I've justified it. Amen. And God just says, that won't fare well for you. Amen. And so we all have to do this together as God's children. Nobody's better than the other. We all need to keep that open heart towards the Word of God. And so let's move on here. Where was I? Letter D, man does not adequately deal with nakedness. That's the first thing you need to nail down. If you left it up to man, we would all have terribly bad standards. Amen? You know what? Because you want bad standards in your sin nature. Sometimes you feel shame over it, but yet you still want it because your flesh desires it. And so if it was up to you, it would be inadequate. And I take that from Adam and Eve. Because the moment their eyes opened and they were ashamed because of their nakedness, you know what they tried to do? And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. They said, let's fix this the way we can. Now, was that good enough? No. God looked at what they did. He didn't even comment on it. He didn't even say, oh, you know, nice try. He just said, let me fix this for you. Amen. Let me give you what you really need. All right? See, man's arguments will always come up short. But if you're not biblically minded, when someone throws a philosophy or a man's argument at you in regards to these things, you just may fall for it. You just may fall for it. If they don't have scriptural precedent and justification, then you have no business taking their argument. Because let God be true and every man a liar. And you can tell them that, let God be true and every man a liar. Sorry, I need more than this. Well, this is the way I feel. Well, that's a problem. Get your I out of there and then I might listen to you. I. It's not about you. You got to be willing to give your life for Christ. No I. Slap me on the cross type of thing, you know? And so, man doesn't deal adequately. In Proverbs 14, verse 12, it says, There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. And so I can be dogmatic. First lesson is this. If you're dogmatic, you better have a whole lot of scripture to back you up. Now, if you don't have any backing up of scripture for your dogmatic argument, you are in trouble. You're in serious trouble, because you could feel you're right, but you could be more wrong than you could ever imagine. And the accountability of that, it's not just falling on you, because you're obviously talking to someone and you're teaching them that argument. Amen. So now you become responsible for teaching what? True teaching? Or what kind of teaching? False teaching. Well, God's not that nitpicky. Really? We're reading his word here. We've talked a lot about nakedness in the third chapter of the Bible. Why would he mention that? Amen. I think it's important to him. I really do. You know, mankind will shape their own conscience to their own desires. Many Christians do this in relation to dress standards. They create an unbiblical argument that because they're not convicted, they do not have to change. I've had someone tell me this one time. They said, well, I'm not convicted about that. Well, whether you're convicted or not doesn't mean that it's not truth or lies. Your conviction has nothing to do with it, because your conviction, it may just be you've hardened yourself in that area and you're not feeling anything because God knows you're not listening. So you can say, I have no conviction, but that's because of what you have been listening to. You've shaped your conscience. And when you spend your life shaping, and your family helps you, and your friends help you, and people around you, and the television helps you, and you begin to shape your standard and your thoughts, you will stop feeling conviction. Because God is not just going to continue to throw pearls before the swine. He says, you don't want it. I can't throw this at you now. He may have to do something in your life first. He'll have to break the hard heart, bring you to a place where you're willing to receive the truth again. Like I said, that type of thing is a line drawn. When you draw that line, you go no further. Amen. And so, excuse me if I'm thinking philosophically with this as well, but you know, I think it's so important, because it has a lot to do with why the church is where it is. And I've spent 20 years thinking about this, preaching and studying. Amen. I've studied the conscience this way and that way. And so I can identify these things sometimes. Maybe not all the time. But the Bible says in Colossians 2:8, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. So what they'll come to you is, they'll throw something at you, talking about men here, people. People will come to you and they'll present their argument, but your argument is simply based in philosophy, simply based in vain, profitless, self-indulgent deceit, amen, or it could be something after tradition. Well, this is the way everybody does it. The whole world is okay with it this way. I mean, the majority rules, right? That's tradition. But it says, if you allow those things and the rudiments of this world, that means the base desires that keep this world going in the direction it's going, if you give yourself to those arguments, you are not giving yourself to Christ. And it says you will be spoiled. Being spoiled means that you're going to lose something good that is inside of you. Because the moment you start listening to a false argument and making it yours, you've just lost something good. You've been spoiled. Amen? And that's what the devil wants to do. He wants to spoil God's people. And so we have to make sure we're thinking truth. Letter E, God must direct us to what is modesty by his word. And so in Genesis 3:21, it says, unto Adam also and to his wife did the Lord God make coats of skins and clothe them. Amen. So So in other words, God says, I will provide what you need. Don't go and make your own clothes here. I'll make the clothes for you. And this word coat isn't just talking about till here. Amen. This is a long coat that covered everything. And in fact, it covered exactly what his standard of nakedness is. I believe it. He didn't make a coat that started here and down. He hung it over their shoulders and it went down to the place that God said was nakedness or not nakedness. Amen. Because he wouldn't violate his own standard, would he? Amen. And so let's move on. So God must shape our conscience by his word. The true Christian will allow the Lord to mold their conscience, making them more sensitive to the desires of God. This week, I've been talking to the Lord, and I've been thinking, Lord, maybe I need to tighten up some areas with my family. Maybe I need to make things better and put some better standards in for them. You know what? That's not an admission of, oh, you're a bad person. That's a sign that God is still working in your life. Because you have to constantly evaluate. Don't ever get to the place where you just, well, everything is great. Constantly evaluate what you're doing, the standards of your life. Because if you don't, you're going to end up finding yourself doing things that you thought you wouldn't do. And then later on, you think, well, I just violated the Bible. You know, it's important. And so the Word of God has to shape our conscience. It's a lack of scriptural influence and a desire for holiness that has fed Christianity today. So the desire to be holy isn't there. The lack of Bible is there. They don't have it anymore. In fact, they've tossed away what is perfect, the King James, and now they're reading all kinds of things that aren't perfect. And you know what? When you tell them that, they don't care. They really don't care. When you say there's a perfect Bible, oh, well, I like this one. My thought is, if I knew there was a good Bible, a perfect Bible, or even if I just believe there was one more accurate than the one I had as a true believer, I'd say, then I want that one. But we live in a generation where they don't care. Doesn't matter. And that's what's feeding our people today. A lack of scriptural influence. The very essence of that argument is me saying, I don't believe there's a perfect Bible. If that's where my argument starts, how am I ever going to build my life to what God wants it to be? I have to start with, thus saith the Lord. I always said there's two groups of people on the planet. There's thus saith the Lord people, and there's yea hath God said people. There's two type of preachers, thus saith the Lord preachers, and yea hath God said preachers. There are those that are building faith in the Bible, those that are causing doubt in the Bible you have before you. Amen. And I'm on the one side. I believe thus saith the Lord. I am not interested. God has not called me to criticize the scripture. He's called me to know it and live it. Amen. And preach it. And so, letter F. Looking on someone's nakedness is shameful. The moral issue is passed down to our children, or the immoral issue. Folks, I've been around long enough as a preacher. When I see a father that is given to immorality, the children are affected by it. I have seen that in some very extreme ways. Even if the child never knew that dad was involved, there is a spiritual influence that takes place. In Genesis 9, that's why I say, men, get the stink and pornography out of your life. You're not just hurting yourself, you're hurting other people. You're hurting your children. You're hurting people around you. You're bringing an influence into the home that may hurt mom and dad if I'm living at home or whatever. You've got to eliminate it. It's so important. And here in Genesis chapter 9, verse number 20 to 27, it says, and this is Noah after the flood. And Noah began to be an husbandman, and he planted a vineyard, and he drank of the wine, and it was drunken, and he was uncovered within his tent. And Ham, the father of Canaan, saw the nakedness of his father and told his two brethren without. And Shem and Japheth took a garment and laid it upon both their shoulders and went backward and covered the nakedness of their father. Now that little detail is just in there because, oh, why? You know, of all the things God could say about after the flood, he put this account right there. Well, because he knew that we're still dealing with the heart of man, and the hearts are evil continually from their youth. It was proven that the enemy came along with the ark. Amen. The ally, the flesh, was still in them. And so here what you have is Ham going in and looking at his dad's nakedness. And instead of doing the right thing and just covering him, he goes and tells his brothers to see if maybe they will go and look on her dad's nakedness. But these men were good men. And they said, no, we're going to help our father here. And they backed in and covered him so that no one else would look at his nakedness. Amen. But Ham wasn't like that. And so Noah awoke from his wine and knew what his younger son had done unto him. And he said, cursed be Canaan, a servant of servants shall he be unto his brethren. And he said, blessed be the Lord God of Shem, and Canaan shall be his servant. God shall enlarge Japheth, and he shall dwell in the tents of Shem, and Canaan shall be his servant. Canaan will become the servant of both of them. Now, Canaan is not Ham. Why didn't he see Ham? Canaan was his son. He saw in Ham an immorality, something that he would pass on to his family that he knew would be a curse to them. And he says, this is what's going to become of you, because you're the type that looks upon nakedness and thinks little of God's standard. Amen. Wow. It was a shameful thing to look upon the nakedness of anyone. Ham did not have the discernment to know this, but Shem and Japheth did. We must seek to live in a moral way with a right and biblical view of nakedness and modesty. Folks, do you understand that there are ramifications for not? It's not just, well, this is my personal decision. It is never your personal decision, because everything you are and everything you do affects someone, especially the cause of Christ. If Noah could say this about Ham for one act, what would God say about Christianity today when they think it's all right to come into church wearing mini skirts, low-cut blouses, showing this, that, or the other, with no thought of modesty? And we're just having a good old time in the house of God. Folks, I'm sorry. I just used the scripture from the first 3-4 times that it was mentioned in the scripture. I've given you every account of the word nakedness till the flood. God is interested in this. Amen. The biblical standard, where am I here? Letter G. One is responsible to cover their nakedness and should be prudent to do so, or should do so. In most situations, every situation. Now, folks, you take a shower. You understand what I'm saying? Don't take me to this crazy level. I remember there's these, sometimes you'd have a missionary that would come through, and the preacher would ask, would give a missionary questionnaire, and some preachers I've heard would ask them, what do you wear to bed? Somebody'd ask me that, I'd say, my fist in your nose. No, I wouldn't do that. I just wouldn't return it, you know, because that type of foolishness. I mean, we are talking about displaying yourself. I mean, you also go to the washroom and you go shower and you take a bath. I mean, what are they going to ask you? Whether you wear, what do you wear in the bath? You know, you got to be careful. And so one is responsible to cover their nakedness and should be prudent to do so. You should know when the right time is to be proper. Amen. And I'm going to give you an example here, and I'm going to teach you something about this. And this is God talking. This isn't Baptist preachers. Exodus chapter 20, verse 26, this is what it says. God is saying this. Neither shalt thou go up by steps unto mine altar, that thy nakedness be not discovered thereon. And so when he built the altar was built up higher. And so they built steps that would go up to the altar when they offer the offering. He's not talking to women here. He's talking to men. He's talking to the priest. So this isn't just a women issue. This is a person issue. This is man and woman issue. Okay? And so he is saying, when you go up those stairs, you cover your nakedness. See, many times this is the argument I get. Well, see, look, I'm fine. Walk up the stairs. Sit down. Oh, well, that's not, well, yes, it is, because God just asked us to be prudent here. He asked us to consider what we are doing in different situations. You know, and so we have to think about these things. How am I being, can they see something from that angle? Amen. And so you got to be careful. Now, if you're not going to be prudent that way, what's going to happen is someone will look upon your nakedness. And God said that ought not happen. He said, cover it up. And so that's an individual responsibility for us to think about this, to be prudent about how we ought to present ourselves before people, because we're trying to be an example to the world. Amen. And folks, if your standard is not God's standard, then whose standard is it? Amen. And by the way, if it's not God's standard and it's somebody else's standard, then why can't that standard change? Why can't it get worse? It's just man's standard. No, when it's God's standard, it's etched in stone. That's why he gave us the Bible, so that he'd say, this is the mark, this is where you stay. This is the anchor that keeps you stayed where you're supposed to be. And so covering our nakedness is not just when circumstances are prime. Amen. We must prepare to be biblically modest in all situations of life that pertain to modesty and you showing modesty. Okay? That's God, that's Bible. Do I have an amen? Or is this just me picking through things? You know what I mean? I mean, is this Bible or not? Is this a principle or not? Is this God? Does God care or not? He cares. He said it. Amen. So it's not me. Please don't blame me. You talk to him about this. Tell him to change the Bible. Maybe that's why they go into different versions. You know, Exodus 28, verse 42 is another one. Now God says, let me fix this for you. Exodus 28, 42. And thou shalt make them linen breeches to cover their nakedness, from the loins even unto the thighs they shall reach. And they shall be upon Aaron and upon his sons when they come into the tabernacle of the congregation, or when they come near unto the altar to minister in the holy place, that they bear not iniquity and die. It shall be a statute forever unto him and his seed after him. So he didn't just say, cover up. He says, let me tell you how to do it. Amen. There we have God, just like with Adam. They tried to sew it together. He came along. Let me cover you. Let me teach you how to do this. It always comes back to the standard that God gives. Amen. So, letter next, is it? I don't have the right letter here. those that reveal their nakedness are dishonored in the scripture. And the Lamentations 1:8, Jerusalem hath grievously sinned, therefore she is removed. All that honored her despise her, because they have seen her nakedness. Yea, she sigheth and turneth backward. Why do they despise her? You know what despise means? To devalue. If we are of the type to reveal our nakedness, people will despise us. And those even maybe that have lower standards, because in their heart they may know it, and they will devalue you when you no longer hold a place of honor to them, a place of value. See, folks, our life is influence. We are to influence those around us. And when we do things right according to God's standard, we are honored. And why do we want to be honored? So they'll listen. So we can teach them, so we can help them grow, not to criticize, not to pretend. And I know there's a whole slew of things out there and people out there and even churches out there that use their standards as some kind of a mark that they're better than everybody else. That is not what I'm saying. That is not the Bible that I'm reading. Amen? Because you're not. All you're doing is, I am taking God seriously in for what he has said. And there's all kinds of areas of my life I need to take him seriously some more. Amen? And some of these areas, other people may have them already figured out, and I don't. But all I know is, in regards to this particular doctrine, we need to get this settled. It has a very visible impact on our ability to reach people. Amen? It's different than just you wrestling up here when you're wrestling here. Amen? And you know it because you've seen it. And you make thoughts about it. Oh, wow. Why would they dress? And right away, they're devalued. Amen? What you don't want is someone to look at you, oh, now I don't need to listen to them as much. Amen? Let's keep it right. Amen? So we can be effective. Now, number two, the standard of nakedness. Well, I'm just going to give you this last verse that we had here in Exodus 28. And thou shalt make them linen breeches to cover their nakedness, from the loins even unto the thighs they shall reach. Now these are pants for underneath the cloak of the priests. Amen. So that when they walked up, their legs would be covered by these breeches. And so, number one, loins, this is basically around the waist, your reproductive organs, all these things that are in here. Amen? That doesn't mean where you start. It doesn't negate what's above it. But what he's saying in regard to this context is, let me explain what nakedness is on the lower part of your body. Waist, that's the standard. You can have some people say, well, I think I can have my pants hanging down to there. Well, I'm sorry, that's not God's standard. And I have Bible on it. Amen? And the second thing is thighs. Now, you can go to the Greek, you can go to the Webster's, you can go to whatever dictionary you want. It means the upper leg, the flank, and it's always to the knee. You punch in anything on your phone there, even in your search bar, you just say thigh, and you know what will come back? Hip to the knee. Any new dictionary will tell you it's to the knee. Now, what does that tell you? What is God's standard of nakedness? If I reveal anything between the knee and the waist in regards to the lower part of my body. Now, isn't that something? Say, well, what happened to... You don't want to know what happened? Number one, preachers stop preaching. They look back at this and say, oh, I don't need to preach that. Folks, we need to preach that, because that's God's standard of nakedness. Amen? How can you argue? I don't like that preacher. He's telling us that Taiwanese, nakedness. Well, you could say preacher all you want, but your argument isn't with me. Your argument's with this book. Now, if I say I'm a Christian, I'm living by this. Now, if I'm saying I'm not going to listen to that, then don't call yourself a Christian. Amen. To the knee. Whether you're walking upstairs, whether you're sitting down, whether you're standing on your head, I don't care what you're doing. That is the biblical standard for nakedness. Amen? I mean, do we have an agreement on that? Is that an amen? So be it, thus saith the Lord. Or is that, yea, hath God said? You know, thus saith the Lord. Amen? That's not very common, is it? Because most Christians would not have a problem going to the beach and wearing a bikini and revealing the nakedness and being devalued and violating God's standard. They would not have a problem with that. Now, I understand when a person gets saved, if the preachers haven't been teaching, and that's our biggest problem. We're scared, even me, I had to work through this, to preach this tonight, you know? But you know what? We've got to get over it. I've got to meet God one day, no matter what anybody says about it, and he's going to say, did you preach at all? Almost all. All. The whole council. Amen. I mean, do it in the right spirit, and hopefully I'm doing that tonight. I'm not doing it to be condemning. We all have to keep this standard in our mind. Amen. Okay, and so letter B, biblical nakedness would include all parts of the body that would arouse the opposite sex, including the top of the torso to the knee. Now, how do I get that? You know, how do I get that standard? Well, if you go to Leviticus chapter 18, he gets a little bit detailed here in his laws about relationships. And I was trying to be sensitive in my worksheet. I didn't know the ages of people that were here, and so I'm trying not to use words that cause them to think too far, you know? And so I use the word torso, all right? That's my thing, all right? I should have maybe asked my wife if she maybe had a better word for it, but she didn't preach all, she doesn't get all my messages together for me, amen? And so, sorry. And Leviticus 18, in verse number 6, we'll just start then, I'll just give you a couple of these verses. None of you shall approach to any that is near of his kin to him to uncover their nakedness. I am the Lord. Now, what is he talking about? Just lifting up their dress to the thigh, to the waist? Now, what he's talking about here, notice what it says. The nakedness of thy father or the nakedness of thy mother, thou shalt not uncover. She is thy mother, thou shalt not uncover her nakedness. The nakedness of thy father's wife and so forth. What they're talking about here is the act, an immoral act that has to do with the body in regards to that act. And when you unravel that body and take the clothes off, that is nakedness. And so that is not just talking about the waist to the knee, that's talking about the front too. Amen. And I mean, I don't have to sit here and argue this. I hope not, because even the world is battling this. You think as wicked as we have it in the world today, that everybody would be walking around topless. But you know, there's enough morality, even in the heathen world, to know, well, that probably just wouldn't be proper. Amen? So hopefully in the church we'd say, yeah, that's nakedness. Amen? That is nakedness. And so I look at that. And to me, the uncovering of the nakedness means that nakedness in that act, that immoral act. All right. And so let's move on from that. All right. And so letter C, naked is used. Am I that far already? Letter C. Naked is used to define someone that is lukewarm in their Christian life. And this is another verse. Sorry, I said before it was the only one. Here's another one in the New Testament. Revelation 3:15, I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that thou wert cold or hot. So then because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. Then it says, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear. And anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. So it ties nakedness and our desire to be that way with a lukewarm life where we lack the spiritual understanding. We lack the ability to see because we haven't sought the Lord, his counsel, and we haven't bought from him the gold that has been tried in the fire, the scripture, the truth that has been bought and paid for by his blood. Amen. And so we need to make sure that spiritually we are not naked. We've got to seek the Lord on these things. And we've got to make sure that what we're doing is upholding the Lord's standard, not just in regards to this, but in every area of life. And we always need to reevaluate. Amen. Don't ever get comfortable, because you'll find slippage. You know, that's with everybody. It doesn't matter who you are. You need to keep that up, keep walking with God, keep seeking the Lord, so that we can keep growing.